Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Local people, local stories. From KYW News Radio, this is The All Local.
Presented by Penn Medicine, we will not rest until it's done. I'm Andre Bennett, and here's what's happening. A Philadelphia man is charged with murder, accused of setting a fire that killed a 20-year-old disabled woman in Darby Township over the weekend. We get more from KYW Suburban Bureau Chief Jim Melwert.
30-year-old Aaron Clark from Cobbs Creek is charged with first-degree murder and three counts of attempted murder, accused of setting a home on fire on the 600 block of Sharon Avenue just after midnight Sunday morning. 20-year-old Olivia Drosher was killed in the fire. Investigators say she had cerebral palsy and was nonverbal and paraplegic, unable to escape the flames. Delaware County DA Jack Stolsteimer.
Aaron Clark has committed one of the most evil and vile acts I have ever seen.
Stolsteimer says Clark set the house on fire to get back at Olivia's sister, who had just ended a six-month relationship with him. Investigators believe Clark knew her sister was in the house and knew she would not be able to get out.
Stolsteimer says the flames had engulfed the front of the house by the time police arrived. They did all they could to try to rescue Drosher, but the fire was too intense. The head of the CDC was in Philadelphia today and recommended that people mask up as the nation faces a triple-demic of COVID, RSV, and the flu. KYW's Tim Jimenez has the story.
CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky was in Center City for the Bloomberg Health Summit. She spoke to our partner NBC10 about the importance of masking in public spaces, but what's different now compared to the last few years is that it's not just about COVID anymore.
Right now, we know that masks do work for other respiratory viruses as well, so if you're so inclined, we really encourage people to consider putting a mask back on.
Also critical is getting vaccinated, the annual flu shot and the bivalent COVID booster. Rates for both are pretty low, and there's concern that hospitals could really fill up if not enough people have this extra protection.
The latest numbers from the CDC show that reported flu hospitalizations nearly doubled in a week. 81 years ago today, Pearl Harbor was attacked, killing more than 2,400 Americans. KYW South Jersey reporter Mike Doherty attended a ceremony on the battleship New Jersey.
A wreath was tossed into the Delaware River to remember the lives that were lost. After the bombing of Pearl Harbor, there was a mad dash by the U.S. Navy to complete construction of the battleship New Jersey and many others. Jack Willard is the ship's director of marketing, and he says this was a display of American might built right across the river in Philly.
All the ships went right to, most of them went to the South Pacific, some went over to Europe, but they were all very involved in World War II to help defend the United States.
The battleship went on to fight in the Korean, Vietnam, and Gulf Wars. Willard encourages people to tour the battleship and experience its history. A Philadelphia City Council committee heard heated opposition today to what should have been a routine bill permitting refinancing of a loan the city guaranteed decades ago. KYW's City Hall Bureau Chief Pat Loeb explains.
The loan guarantee helped build a parking garage for the gallery in 1982. The bill permitting refinancing included a stipulation that the owner agree to the possible closing of a block of Filbert Street adjacent to the garage. That small detail was enough to set off a wave of suspicion and outrage among opponents of the proposal to build an arena for the 76ers at the shopping mall, so that even though the bill's sponsor, Councilman Mark Squilla, removed the stipulation, more than a dozen arena opponents denounced what they described as an underhanded attempt to grease the wheels for the arena. Councilman Squilla repeated several times that there'd been a misunderstanding.
The bill did eventually pass, but the hearing left no doubt about the level of distrust and ill will the Chinatown community feels for the arena and its proponents. Rutgers Law School and New Jersey-based Minority Cannabis Academy are teaming up to help expand access to the Garden State's growing recreational cannabis industry. KYW Community Impact reporter Raquel Williams has the details.
Minority Cannabis Academy co-founder Brendan Robinson says black and brown people are not represented properly in the cannabis industry.
whether it be from a C-suite level, entrepreneur level, or even an entry level position. So we wanted to come out and do our best to kind of help folks get ingratiated in the industry.
Rutgers Law School's Certificate in Cannabis Law and Business is a 6-month program that ensures people entering the market have the information they need to run legally compliant businesses. Vanessa Williams, Assistant Dean of New Programs, says this collaboration will make an impact in the state's legal marijuana industry.
For us to be involved with MCA and be able to support their students in this way is a really, really important move for us in terms of the mission of the law school, in terms of the mission of the program.
The New Jersey Cannabis Regulatory Commission gives priority review to applications defined as diversely owned. There are currently 30 dispensaries in the state, with 20 offering recreational marijuana. Less than 2% of the nation's cannabis companies are black owned. And that's the All Local. I'm Andre Bennett. Listen live anytime on the Odyssey app and on your smart speaker. Just say, play KYW News Radio.